A true believer tries his best to follow Islam in all walks of his life, for he knows full well that Islam demands total allegiance and complete adherence to its principles and practices from its believers. Such a demand is based on the idea that Islam is a complete way of life, providing guidance in every situation we may face in our daily life. This claim of Islam as a complete system of living is in turn based on the idea that God is one, and so in having mastery and lordship over us, he should be alone too. No other being or authority or agency, not even our whims and desires, should be allowed to be our master, replacing God, though it may only be for a few minutes. That there is none worthy of worship except Allah is the summation of this very situation to which a true Muslim submits himself throughout his life. This job of following Islam in all phases of life becomes much easier by the belief that Allah is omnipresent and omniscient. The idea that Allah sees us all the time and that he knows everything creates a psychological mechanism which enables a Muslim to practice Islamic principles sincerely and to the best of his ability. The Quran says, God, none is worthy of worship but he, the ever-living, the self-subsisting sustainer. Nor slumber seizeth him, nor sleep. He knoweth what is before them and what is behind them, and naught of his knowledge should they grasp save what he willeth. His throne spreadeth over the heavens and the earth, and the upholding of both burdeneth him not, and he is the high, the great. And again we have these verses, reminding us of his presence everywhere. Dost thou not see that God knoweth all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth? Three persons speak not privately together, but he is their fourth, nor five, but he is their sixth, nor fewer, nor more. But wherever they be, he is with them. Then on the day of requital, he will tell them of what they have done, for God knoweth everything. Thus it is very obvious that there is no room on our part to entertain the idea that if the eyes of law are not watching us and nobody can spy us, we are free to do what we know is wrong and harmful to us and to other human beings. In communities where the presence of God is not a part of reality, of collective life, we find everyday living very much marked by crimes, dishonest dealings, selfishness and apathy. Individuals fall victim to the weaknesses of human nature and do not have any device or mechanism, psychological or spiritual, to support them in resisting the temptation and in overcoming their frailty. It is abundantly clear that the deterrent in the form of police or any other physical force is a very ineffective and negative substitute for the spiritual deterrence based on the omnipresence of God. Here is a story telling us what this belief in God's omnipresence could do for us. One night, Caliph Omar was out in the streets of Medina with a solitary companion and was walking about silently, observing the condition of his subjects. While passing by a cottage, the Caliph heard a whispering talk within. An old woman said to her young daughter, "Why not mix some water with the milk for sale? You know we are so poor and we so badly require money." "But have you forgotten the Caliph's order? He wants that nobody must sell milk mixed with water. but there is neither the Caliph nor any one of his officers to see what we may do. Caliph or no Caliph here, his order is order, and it should be obeyed by every true Muslim. Besides, you may escape the notice of the Caliph, but you cannot escape the notice of Allah, who knows and sees everything." The Caliph silently walked off. The Caliph's companion wondered what his master meant. The next morning, the Caliph sent for the girl. The girl came trembling before the mighty ruler of the Muslim Empire. The Caliph called his sons before him and related all that he had heard the previous night. He further said, "Now, my sons, I desire that one of you should take this girl to wife. I know of no better bride for you." One of the sons present agreed to his father's proposal. The girl too gave her consent, and she became the honored daughter-in-law of the Caliph. Again, here is the reaction of a true Muslim in a very different situation. On the eve of the Battle of Aznadin in the year 633 AD, Heraclius sent under the command of General Wardan an army of 70,000 to crush out the Muslims. Now, one day, on the plain of Aznadin, Wardan was riding on a white mule decorated with gold chains and surrounded with ensigns and standards. Dirar, a Muslim warrior, was also out to survey the state of the enemy. He was confronted by Wardan, who at once dispatched 30 Romans to meet him. Nothing daunted, Dirar accepted the challenge and with his single lance maintained a fight against them all, and after killing or unhorsing 17 of their number, he returned to his group. When his rashness was censured by his general, Dirar replied, "I did not begin first, but they came out to take me, and I was afraid lest Allah should see me turn my back."